Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Everyone must submit. Would you say submit?
Submit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great word, isn't it? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Is it Paul making it clear there? Everybody getting that, right? Okay. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Lord, I thank you that you are good. Lord, I thank you that you are here in this place. Lord, I thank you that you call us to do the hard thing. Lord, that there was a cost that you paid to put me on the road to righteousness, on the road to heaven, Lord. And Lord, that I live my life in response to that incredible act upon the cross. Lord, I thank you that you come to this place, that you speak to our hearts, that you open your ears to our prayers, Lord. That your eyes are upon the righteous, that you move in and among us, Lord, and that you are a miracle worker, that you are a healer, that you make your provision from heaven for us, Lord. We give you praise this morning, knowing that you are good, mighty, and awesome. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. The cost of your Christianity is high. Following the Lord, the road to righteousness, can be a hard thing. Amen? Many of you are familiar, most everybody, all of you are familiar with our outreach to the skateboard park. And our city officials love us. Oh, feed these children. Take care of these children. Keep these children safe. Okay. And in their wisdom, they are tripling the size of the skateboard park. It is a dark place. Drugs rule and reign. Tripling the size, tripling the problem, but tripling the opportunity. Can I get a witness on that? And God, in his magnificence, God, in his provision, has given us an outreach tool in the shape of a hot dog cart. Hallelujah. We will reach out with truth dogs. Amen? And Dana and I go out there, and Dana and I are good. We are looking for a young person with a heart for the youth that will want to go out there and push some truth dogs out there. Amen? Now, if we are going to do that, we have to subject ourselves to every authority placed among us. Are you tracking with me? So, first off, we have to take this magnificent truth cart to the county. County health and safety has to inspect that. It's got a hand washing station. There's propane in there. It heats water. It does all this stuff. We got to get all that cleared up by the county. Then we got to go to the city. City Parks and Rec has to give us permission to take the fabulous truth cart out there to the Parque de la Cruz, right over there behind the Old Copley YMCA. And all the city officials are going, yes, yes, yes. Go do all these things. They're behind us until you ask him for a signature. Oh, and it's not so easy. to follow the call of the Lord. The Lord asked us to do a hard thing. Amen? We are in this series called The Road to Righteousness, and we're going to talk about the high cost of your Christianity. And it's not a message that is real popular. It's not a message that people are ready to hear. And it's the church's fault. I take some responsibility for that because a lot of people figure that when they come to church, they need a payoff. It's like, okay, God, it's like I'm doing God a favor if I'm going to show up. You know, God, I'll show up today, but Pastor Bob better not go too long. He goes too long and I am out of there. You know what I'm talking about? Doing God a favor. I'll give you my life, Lord, but I need you to make the rest of my life easy. Got to hook me up. Bless me, Lord. I'll give you my life. You're going to just kind of take care of me. And the Lord says, not only is your life not going to get easier, it's going to get harder. They hated me. They're going to hate you. They crucified me. He said, there's a life of persecution on the way to heaven. Your persecution. They're like, well, man, I don't know if I want to sign up for that. But there is heaven at the end. Oh, yeah. See, we get salvation now in a battle all the way until we die. Amen? God asked us to do the hard thing. The title of today's message is The High Cost of Christianity. And we are going to spend our time in Romans chapter 13. We're going to talk about Christianity and civil obedience. I had to break this up. I could only get through one verse at the start of this thing, and so I'm just going to read that one verse. Let everyone, say everyone, would you?
Everyone.
Is there anybody here who's not part of everyone? There you go. Look at that, in Spanish. How do you say that in Jamaican, Eric? Todos. There it is, man. Look at that. I think it's Greek or something. I don't know. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. God wants us to submit to the authorities, to the government. You think this can't be right, God? They're all morons. I want to let you know that God voted for Trump. Now, before you throw rocks at me, God also voted for Barack Obama. It says in the book. Can I get a witness on that? God is also behind the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, and Stalin, and Hitler, and even the devil. And you say, how can that be? Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Satan talking to Jesus said, I will give you all their authority and splendor because it has been given to me. By who? By God. And God is so big, and God is so awesome and mighty and powerful that he can fulfill his will and his plan through anyone, whether they are for him or against him. He can receive glory. Amen? So, he says, line up on me. Paul writes this from Corinth, okay? He's writing the book of Romans from Corinth to Rome. In Corinth, or Corinth is a Roman city. As such, if you are Greek, in the Greek city of Corinth, or any other foreigner, you have absolutely no rights. Life in Roman-occupied territory in the time of Paul has been likened to life in North Korea now. Now, Paul is not writing this in ignorance. He writes this letter to Rome, and Nero is the emperor. Nero, in just a few years, would illuminate his gardens by hanging Christians on crosses and lighting them on fire. Both Paul and Peter would be crucified by Nero. God asks us to do the hard thing. Amen? Let's keep going. Consequently, everyone who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear from the one in authority? A lot of people say, oh yeah. Then do what is right and you will be commended. And Paul is saying Christians need to find a way to get by. See, this is not new to Paul. Paul has been preaching in Roman lands for 20 years. He says, pay your taxes, keep your head down, and be about the things of the Lord. Amen? And it's not just Paul. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. He's living in the same area, ministering in the same area. He's saying, it's better if it's God's will for suffering, for doing good, than to do evil. He said, hey, be about God's business. You might get attacked. The civil authorities might do it. It's better to do it for doing good than for doing bad. And Paul is saying you need to find a way to get by. Do not become an organized movement that is looking to move against the Romans and gain their attention. Paul writes this about 56, 57 AD. Nero has been emperor for 2 years. He became emperor after the emperor Claudius had died. During the reign of Claudius, he had expelled all the Jews from Rome, and he had seized all their property. When he died and Nero came in, Nero let him come back. And so they're moving back into Rome and they're mad. And they're rebelling. And there's this organized rebellion and the zealots and all that kind of stuff. And they have the Roman-Jewish wars that are going on in the Holy Land. And in 10 years, these escalate. And in 70 AD, the Romans move in and destroy Jerusalem. The temple is gone, and the Jews are expelled from the Holy Land. 70 AD, expelled from the Holy Land until when? 1947. All the stuff that is going on in the Middle East today finds its root in the activism of the Jews against the Romans. And Paul says to the church, don't do that. It's not going to work out well for you. You know what I'm talking about? See, God calls us out of darkness to be a witness for Him right where you're at, within the existing social structure of the day. If God wants to change a social structure, He can do it in a blink of an eye. He puts in kings. He takes them down. He does not need you. Nowhere, nowhere in this book does it say, oh, the culture is getting so sinful, the church needs to rise up and make a change. God says, you shine the light of the gospel, I'll make the change. Keep your head down and be about the gospel and do the hard thing. Amen? Calm down for a second. Last Monday or Tuesday, I was downstairs, you know, we're doing the meal thing, and Melissa walks in. Pretty little girl. We met last year at the skate park. Been to a couple of Wednesday nights. Three sisters. They go to church. Kind of like a shining light Escape Pork Outreach, you know. And she comes in, and she's got her friend there, and she goes, "Hey, Pastor Bob." And I'm like, "How you doing?" You know. He says, "Oh, good, good," you know. And she's a sophomore at Hoover, and so that makes her 14, 15, something like that. Am I right? Is that right? 16. No, not 16 yet. Not 16 yet. 15, early in the year, maybe 14, 14, 15. And I'm looking at her, you know, and I said, "So how's it? I haven't seen her in a while." I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "Good. I got out of rehab today." And I'm thinking, well, her knee was messed up. Or I'm like, "Rehab? What kind of rehab?" "For smoking." "Really? Smoking what?" "Smoking weed." In my heart, my heart just kind of breaks for this girl. And Wendy is cleaning. Dana's there. And we all got passed. I say, "Wendy, you smoke much weed?" She said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "How'd that work out for you?" "Not so good." I said, "Melissa, there's help here for you. There's opportunity here for you. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing for you. God calls us to be a witness, to do the hard thing for Melissa." Amen? Amen. All right, let's keep going. See, God's people have obligations. Somebody needs to shine on Melissa. Amen? All right. "For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servant, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishments, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, not only because of possible punishment, why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honors." And Paul says, Christians got to step up. Christians got to do the hard thing. Now, he tells us what secular authorities are there to take dangerous people off the street. Okay? Civil authorities are given the ability to arrest, convict, kill in the name of keeping the peace. The church is on the opposite side of that. Do you remember Dylan Roof? Or Roof? He was the shooter at that Charleston church. Now, the Charleston church, the survivors of the church, those family members came around and they all forgave Dylan Roof. The state sentenced him to death in December of 2016. See, the secular authorities are there for our benefit to keep it safe. JJ and I were here, left last night at about 7 o'clock. The cops were everywhere. They were looking for somebody. "Sound a light in my car." "Well, they shine a light in your car. They're looking. Can I get a witness on that?" Now, there's many instances in which the civil authorities do wrong. Back in the day, tax collectors looked at as nothing more than common thieves. When the civil authorities are wicked and godless, God wants us to look to Him for solutions. This is completely counter to our natural tendencies. See, God asks us to do a hard thing. So He says, pay what you owe. You owe taxes, pay them. You owe revenue. Revenue is like duties and fees and tolls and that kind of stuff. Pay it. He says, you owe respect. See, the respect is really where it starts to break down, because so many of the civil officials and authorities that we have around us are not due respect. They're not worthy of respect. And you begin to think, you know, God is really dropping the ball around here. And I need to pick it up for him and help him out. I want to let you know, God never drops the ball. Not one time, not ever. He says, what you need to do is you need to keep your head down. You need to be about the things of the gospel. And you do the hard thing. Amen? Here we go. Verses 8 through 10, chapter 13. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. God calls us to do the hard thing. God calls us to be different. And Paul shows us the way. He comes back again to love. Agape love, sacrificial love. This sacrificial love is the basis for Christian life and Christian service. You cannot do this without the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Our natural tendency, my natural tendency, is to make an assessment of my needs and take a look at my neighbors and see how they can meet my need. Amen? Natural tendency. Acts of adultery, murder, and stealing are incredible displays of selfishness. And we live in a selfish culture. God would have us move in an entirely different direction. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where the world looks to take, the church looks to give. Amen. See, Paul says, you owe honor, submission, and respect to the civil authorities around you. Say, oh, that's so hard. But he says that you owe more to your fellow man. That for him and to him, you love him as yourself. When it comes right down to it, the civil authorities part is the easy part. Because God asks us to do a hard thing. Amen? You know, and so you just say, man, it's just too hard. My uncle, for his 80th birthday in July, maybe June, wanted to take me and my two brothers fishing in Alaska. And he's talking to me 6 months ahead of time, going, will you go? Can you go? You know, can you get away from the church? Will you get away from the church? I'm thinking, no, I'm not, no. And then I start doing some math. I look at a plane flight just to go up to Alaska is $1,000. And for 3 days fishing, my uncle's going to put down like $5,000. And because of the cost, it had an impact on my choices. I said, okay, where do I need to be? And when do I need to be there? When you become aware of the cost of your salvation, Christ on the cross, God asks you to do the hard thing. It becomes a whole lot easier to say yes. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you. Living with the end in sight. And do this. What? All this, love your neighbor as yourself, submit to the authorities, all this stuff. Amen? Do all this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And Paul says, let's keep the main thing, the main thing. He says, we Christians need to keep our priorities straight, because sometimes dealing with the drama of life and all the stuff, anybody have any stuff going on this weekend or this week? Got a little stuff going? I got some stuff going. See, our lives can get a little messed up. Amen? Paul says, you keep your focus on the end, on heaven, on your reward, on Jesus coming back, and it's going to be a whole lot easier to keep your priorities lined up. Amen? The cost of my salvation helps me say yes to the hard thing. Paul says, keep on moving into that salvation. We talked a couple chapters back, chapter 10. You can be saved. How? Confess with your mouth. What? That Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Amen? You heard that part? But Paul says, man, there is another component of that salvation that is coming, that there is going to be a trumpet blast, and we will be caught up in the air, and we will meet the Lord, and we will be transformed. And at that point, your salvation will be made complete. Paul writes it this way in the first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And there, Mary Jo and I were talking, our bodies are breaking down. We're going to get brand new bodies. They're going to last forever. You're not going to have any more insulin shots or any of that stuff. I'll have hair or you'll be bald. It'll all be good. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. He says, man, the good stuff is coming. This change can happen anytime. This change can happen anytime. Jesus come back today, that trumpet, boom, going on. He says, don't walk around like you're drunk. Don't walk around in a stupor. Beginning of the week, I was over at Food for Less. Aaron talked about us having the meat around this place. Yeah, we get meat donated. And I'm there picking up this food. And I come out and here's, remember how hot it was on Monday? I mean, it was blazing hot. And I come out and here's this homeless dude laying by my front tire. Okay. You know, it's like laying on a frying pan out there. I got to go in. I figure he's going to be gone. I come back out, and there he is, man. He's like snuggled up to my tire. And it's an 18-inch tire. That's a big wheel. You know what I mean? I'm like, buddy, I want to run over your legs here. You know, if you're laying next to somebody's tire, and he says, I don't want to run over your legs here. My... generate a response? He goes, my wheels are cocked. They literally would drive right over his thighs. So I get in and I straighten out my wheel and go the other way. Paul says, don't walk around in a stupor. Be aware. What's going on? God's going to ask you to do the hard thing. You need to be in a position to respond. Amen? Amen? All right. Last thing what I got for you. Verses 13 and 14. Let us behave decently. Can I get a witness on that? Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and debauchery. Not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The good part's coming soon. I'm happy about that. Amen. Maybe this afternoon we're going to hear a trumpet blast. Paul talks about life in the world. And he talks about carousing. He uses words like debauchery and dissension. You might not have used carousing, debauchery, dissension all week. Amen? Hey, what is carousing? You might not recognize carousing, but you would recognize clubbing. And you would recognize partying. Amen? And he makes a tie between the carousing and drunkenness. And you can see how that might go hand in hand, if you know what I'm talking about. And so you're out carousing, or you're out clubbing, and the booze might start to flow. I guess weed doesn't flow. I don't know what. But you might do a little smoking. You might do a little something. And all of a sudden, it leads right into that next thing. Sexual immorality. Oh, my. It's like, how does God know this stuff? He's not dumb. So he says, let's behave decently, because what happens is you start that partying thing and that drinking thing and the sexual immorality thing, and all of a sudden you get to debauchery. And debauchery, that word you might not have used this week, is a lack of restraint. Ever got there? Debauchery is a lack of restraint. Dissension is the loss of restraint. You see, I mean, it's one thing not to exercise it. It's another thing not to be able to exercise it. Right? You're slipping down that slope, going nowhere good fast. And then you end up jealous. Jealous of being able to turn a phone off quick. Jealous. Sorry. I have to get back to my mental state, right? Jealous. You know, jealousy speaks of dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction of what you've got. So you start, let's behave decently, not indecently, not carousing, not partying and clubbing with sexual immorality, moving into the drunkenness, moving into debauchery, the lack of restraint or dissension, the loss of restraint, and then looking around and being dissatisfied with all that you've got. Make sense? He says, break that stuff down. Put on Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, that's so hard. Yeah. But living the dissatisfied, dissipated, debaucherous life is harder than that. Amen? Do you want to break that down? Put some Jesus on your thinking. Amen? That you can put some Jesus in your activities. That you can put some Jesus on how you dress. Oh, my. You can put some Jesus on your phone and turn your ringer off when you get to church. Can I get a witness on that? Put some Jesus on your kids. Put some Jesus on everything in your life. And when you do that, it's a whole lot easier to say yes to the hard thing. So how you doing? Come on up. The hard thing. What's the hard thing? Love your neighbor as yourself. No way! It's too hard. You got more than one. God doesn't tell you that you got to pick the hardest one to start. Amen? Pick someone the most like you. I got Vietnamese on one side and Vietnamese across the street. Those aren't the best ones for me. Pick someone like you. and love them as yourself. Jesus said, a cup of cool water given in my name will not fail to receive a reward. Amen? You'll be surprised what you can accomplish with a carne asada burrito. You know, some people like cake. We got so many cakes around here. You come to me and say, Pastor Bob, I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to take over there. I'm going to hook you up. You know, you might need to wash a car. You might need to mow a lawn. You might need to watch a kid. But what you do need to do is love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Lord Jesus, you ask us to do the hard thing. I ask, Lord, that you would glorify yourself, that you would come in among us, Lord, and Lord, that you would empower us to do the hard thing. Lord, my neighbor this morning is Melissa, Lord. Lift her up before you, Lord, and that brokenness that is in her heart and in her soul, Lord, that you begin to knit her back together again. Lord, I pray that you are good and mighty this morning, and Lord, that you put a burden on each person here this morning. Lord, that we each of us have a neighbor that we can take care of, like the Samaritan. Lord, bring to mind, put a picture in our soul, Lord, and give us the ability to do the hard thing. Can you do that? Everybody here has got a neighbor. Might be at school, might be at work, might be at the skate park. But you got one. God says, love that person like yourself. Put them way up on your priority list. God says, I'll meet you in heaven. And hopefully your neighbor will be there because of you. Amen? It's a hard thing. Amen? We're all going to stand. We're going to sing. We're all going to commit to do the hard thing. Love our neighbor as ourself. Need a cake? Come talk to me. You're on your own with the carne asada burrito. But I'm thinking it's going to work. Carne asada fries. Never got into them, but they'll work too. Let's all sing. Amen? Danny, put that song up, or Matt. We're going to sing this song. And as we sing, I want you to think about your neighbor. Make it a commitment to the Lord. You could praise him through serving your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Amen, amen.
Praise unbroken.